Perek Yudal Pasuk Yud Aleph. Perek, or let's go back one Pasuk, Pasuk Yud. So I want to review, I want to just bring out one point. One interesting medrash. It's Perek Yudal Pasuk Yud Lev Yodea Moras Nafshay Ubisimchoso Lo Yis Orav Zar. A person knows his own bitterness, and therefore, if a person overcomes the difficult times and the Hashem gives reward, only he will benefit from this reward. He will not be shared by others. So we discussed a few ideas last week. We discussed the halacha that comes from this pasuk, a chayla mesukin, the someone on Shabbos says, I don't feel well, I want you to be mechalal Shabbos on my behalf, even if we have in the room experts, doctors, and the doctors say that it is not necessary. The halacha is, if a person says, I feel that it is necessary, even though he does not have the medical expertise, he is still listened to, taken seriously with Mechal Shabbos, because of this very pasuk, Lev Yodea Moras Nafsh. It's a very important yisoid. Very important pasuk. And then we also, this is one of the measures I want to point out, is that the Chazal interpreted this pasuk in reference to Yisro and Moshe Rabbeinu. There, according to Chazal, Yisro was not, according to one of the different ways to learn the pasuk, but according to one approach, Yisro was not present for Matan Torah, and he was not present for the entire 40 years in the desert. After he came briefly in Parashas Yisro to greet Moshe Rabbeinu, and then Moshe begged him, please stay with us, you'll be for us an advisor, you'll be for us a lookout, you'll bring into Klal Yisrael a new perspective. And Yisro, no, but he went on his way. So we simply interpret this to mean that he went on his way on his own choice. His own Moshe wanted him to stay, and he on his own said, no, it's not for me. Okay, that's the Pshut Shomik. It's hard to deny that's the Pshut Shomik. But the Medrash here says something very interesting. The Pesik of Rav Kahana is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, basically, if you have to interpret the Medrash to mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it about that he bedavka should not want. He should bedavka want to leave Klal Yisrael and go back home because he didn't deserve it. Why did he not deserve to be with Klal Yisrael in the 40 years of the desert? The nene from the Zif HaShchina, the nene from the Anani HaKavod, the nene from all of the incredible brachas, is because he was not part of the Shibut. He was alive during the time, during those very difficult years when Klal Yisrael suffered, and he did nothing about it. In fact, he didn't even want Moshe Rabbeinu to go back and return. It's only after Moshe said, sorry, I have to go back to my people, where I came from Egypt, I have to go back to my people, did Yisro acquiesce, you can go. But being that Yisro was not a shutuf in the bitterness of Klal Yisrael, it's not fair that he should be nene from the good times, the 40 years in the desert, from Matan Torah, the Gilui Shechina, and all the brachas that Klal Yisrael received in the desert and Eretz Yisrael. It was not fair. So therefore, we read the Medrash.
Which of the advisors to Torah was he?
There were three. Eoif, Yisro, what?
He was the one that ran away.
But even though he ran away...
Of course he wasn't part of the Shibut, obviously.
He should have objected.
He should... Who was Bilam? Bilam said, do it.
Eov was quiet.
And Yisro
was quiet.
And Yisro was Barach. Yisro objected. Yisro did indeed object. But even though he objected, you make a good point, he still did not feel their pain. He was not...
He couldn't be there because everyone was dying out for 40 years, except Yisro wouldn't have been dying.
Yisro would not
have been dying if he wasn't there by the...
The Cheder Egel. The Cheder and the Meraglim.
It would be very, it would be
Loig
LaRosh. It would be Mamish.
Loig LaRosh.
He was the big Galach. He was the big. Did every Avodah Zarah, and he is succeeding.
Well, Klal Yisrael also did Avodah Zarah. You can't say that.
Still, he succeeded, that he's not dying.
Well, all right, okay, we have to, okay, maybe he would have been there, if he would have come, the Chedem Raglim took place after Yisro went on his way. If Yisro would have stayed, and would have participated in the Chedem Raglim, he also would have been subject to the punishment. But he wasn't, he just happened not to be there. Let me read the words of the Medrash, a very interesting Medrash. Dover Acher, Amar Shlomo, Leiv Yoidea Maras Nafshe, Lefich, therefore, Uvesimchasolo Yisare Yisare, Rev Yisa Yis Orav Zar Kach Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Hayu Meshubadim Betit Uvilvein Bimitzrayim the Yisroi Yisro sat home. He had a
worry free.
He had a flat screen TV, a nice waterbed. No daigus. Hashkeit vavetach.
But didn't they excommunicate him because he rejected a Vaidizar? That was then.
Einochnami. So that was part of his society. But it's just because he was not popular among his own people, and maybe he moved out to the suburbs. He wasn't part of all the action, but he still did not suffer the choymer, the words of the Medrashar, the tit, the levenim, the mishubat, the tit levenim. He was sad, was hashkeit vavetach. No matter how.
So why did Moshe Rabbeinu make the offer and plead with him? He should stay.
Because they're Haaretz. Okay, let's see. That's the point I want to make. Let's just see. Well, let me finish the words. Let's see what it says here. So the achshav bo liros besimchas satorim bonai, and now you want to come and witness matan Torah. Lefichach nemar vayishalach Moshe eschosno. Moshe sent away his father-in-law. V'achar kach b'chodesh hashlishi. The psukim go forward to tell us about matan Torah. But b'midbar Sinai shemishlo hoya bizman meridus hanefesh lo yiskel l'shtatef b'simchos. Now there are a lot of different issues with this medrash. First of all, it's machlokes rishonim if Yisro came after matan Torah or Yisro came before matan Torah. Most mefarshim know that he came after matan Torah. Vayishma Yisro mashmu shama uba matan Torah yitzias Mitzrayim. So this medrash obviously is in conflict with that and the other medrash. It's not a kash. We had many times in midrashim a chaylik on each other, and Rashi selects which medrash.
Yeah, says Vayini Machros. The next day he was being done, and Rashi says over there
after Matan Torah.
After
Matan Torah. Inachnami. So that's one opinion. Inachnami. You have to reconstruct, rework the psukim, reinterpret the psukim according to the other Mamari Chazal that tell us that Yisro came before Matan Torah. Okay, that's issue number one. Issue number two. According to Pshut Shel Mikra, Vayishalach Moshe Eschosno. Moshe Rabbi Yisro was the one who didn't want to stay. Yisro Moshe was begging. Moshe was begging Yisro to stay, right? And then when Yisro left, Yisro left because I don't want to stay. And when the pasuk says Vayishalach Moshe Eschosno, means he derech eretz, he was melav him, he accompanied him. But the one that made the decision to leave was Yisro. According to this medrash Pshitra of Zutra, it's an incredible chiddush that basically Moshe Rabbeinu was telling him, "Sorry, buddy, you can't stay." Oh, but Moshe Rabbeinu begged him a few moments ago to stay. We're subject to interpretation. What exactly was he asking him to stay?
He said, "What's your hurry? Here's your hand."
Okay, but there's also another issue. Okay, let's want to just compare this to the very, very, very a classic Maamar Chazal that Eliezer had a daughter. Ah. Eliezer had a daughter, and Eliezer wanted to be Meshadech with Avraham. So Avraham said to Eliezer, "Ani Baruch, V'ata Arur, I am blessed and you are cursed. You come from Canaan. Canaan is cursed. Aru Canaan, Eved Avodim Yelachiv. I am blessed. Baruch Avram Lekei, Baruch Avram Lekei Lelion. I'm blessed, you are cursed. V'ain Arur. Mistabeg b'baruch." What do all the commentators ask on this Maamar Chazal? It should be just the opposite. V'ein baruch mistabeg b'arur. If you read a shidduch, you have a person who's not from the best family, and you propose, would you want to enter into a shidduch with this person, this choshev, a blessed person from the most choshbachos miyachosos b'Yisrael? Who will object to the shidduch? What would your expectation be? It's the Baruch, the person who's from the family, the Choshva families in Klal Yisrael, is the one that would object. I don't want to mishach with this Aror. It's not lefi kvaidi to be mishanech with the Aror. But the Aror would jump for joy, would want, of course would want. Chazal say, guess what? That's not the way the world works. The way the world works is there are even times when the Baruch doesn't have a choice. The Baruch says there's a crisis. There's a shortage of eligible young men or eligible young women out there. So I'm willing to compromise and take for my daughter someone that's not lefi my standards. More often than not. Okay, read the shidduch. I'm asking. Even though he's not what I wanted, I never imagined in my wildest dreams I would come to this. But listen, that's the way the world goes. I have no choice. I need a shidduch for my son or daughter. I'm asking. And they read the shidduch, and guess what? Guess what? Guess who doesn't want? The Aura. Avner doesn't want. Shocking. You read the Sheikh. Sorry, the Sheikh goes back. Sorry, he doesn't want. What are you talking about? We've got everything here. We have money. We have the Yoifi. We have Kavod. We have a Mishpacha. Alamailas. He doesn't want. Half live a fellow. Why? Hashem put a machshava in the mind of the Aror. The Ein Aror Mistabek Bibaruch. That's what the... Well, not necessarily doesn't relate. Objectively, everyone is shocked. Why? He just, I don't want it. It's just not for me. Why? That's the way Hashem runs the world. Hashem runs the world, and Hashem does things which kiloi puts machshav in the mind of a person that I don't want. So, if you want to take that idea, that's a drush. That's not pshat, but it's a drush. Ein orur mistabek bibaluch. But we know from real life how true it is. You don't have to be 100 years old to see many examples of this type of thing in the world, of all different scenarios we have in such situations. But here, you can say the same exact thing with regard to Yisrael. Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu was begging, Yisrael, Yisrael, stay for the show. Matan Torah, and the Gilui Shechina, you can stay. Yisrael says, I don't want to stay. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was misabib, Hashem brought about whatever it was, put a machshava in the mind of Yisrael that he should not want to stay for whatever reason. Why? Because Hashem's master plan, it's not fair. It's just not fair for Yisrael to be nene from the Gilui Shechina when he was not a shutef with Klal Yisrael in their bitterness in Vayimores Chayehem Ba'avoda Kasha. That's really, I think, pretty much what the Medrash is saying. That's going to be the result, because you read all the Psukim, doesn't fit. Moshe's Rabbeinu is begging. Yisrael says, I don't want to stay. And the Medrash is telling us, why did Yisrael stay? Because it's not fair. But he had the option of staying. Moshe himself is begging. Hashem runs the world. Hashem puts machshavas in people's minds. Hashem causes events to happen to create a psychological domino effect of being in a situation where you just don't want. You just don't want. You know, that's...
See, down the road,
yeah,
that it was helpful to have Yisro and his tribe, family, whatever you want to call it.
B'nai Keni.
Yeah.
Moshe Rabbeinu, Asniel ben Kenaz.
No,
Chover HaKeni.
Yoel Leishis Chover HaKeni.
All right, so, but if that would have, it's not, that's down the line. Okay, so this is, they rejoin, right, correct. And that was very, to the great benefit of Yavetz. Yavetz.
No,
Devorah, okay, Devorah, so there are many different individuals in Chazal, okay, they have this.
No, but what I'm saying is that's when
Yoel, right, okay. So we have over here, Pasuk Yud, Lev Yudel Moras Nafshay, Ubisimcha, so the Lo Yisar of Zar, Hashem rules the world, Hashem will make sure that it will not come about, it will not be the person's decision, Hashem will make it come about that it will not be Nen if you don't participate in the bitterness. If you don't deserve it, it's just not fair. There has to be some fairness in this world as well. And we tie this into Yisro and Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Yud Aleph Beis Rishaim Yishamed, V'Oyel Yisharim Yafriach. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, and the tent of the upright will blossom. Now, the word is the far, let's see, the Mesudas Pasuk Yud Aleph, he picks up on the Chibs in a bayis and an oihel. A bayis is a permanent structure. Concrete walls, a foundation, an oil is a flimsy little hut, and yet you could have a major institution that's a bias that's firmly established, but if it's not al derech haTorah, it will be yishamed. You have a yeshivish, a place that barely lives on a shoestring, and yet if this is the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yafrich, it will blossom. It will be a place of life. Let's take a look over here. Pasuk Gidal Beis Ratzlema Imshu Binyin Chazak Derech Habayis. Im shu binyin chazak kederech, if you have a, although shu binyin chazak kederech habayis, it doesn't make a difference. Yishamed the oihel, but a tent. Im shuhu arai kederech oil mikamakam yafriach viyale maila. Physical structure doesn't make people happy. The people who live in poverty, dire poverty, they live in an oihel. It's not just the physical bias. The whole life is shvach, is very weak. And yet, yafriach, you see they have success, they have siyat d'shmai, and you can have a bias you could have. Everything can be perfect in life, but if it's not what Hashem wants, it's Yishamei. Dvarim Pshutim. Look at Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yud Aleph. Beis Rishayim. Rashi goes to the Medrash. Who's Beis Rishayim? Beis Aram. Aram means Aram. Tzoyva Aram. Well, Aram, there are a lot of Arams. Aram is it basically means the nation. It means the name of all the nations of the world. It's short for. It's a mashal for the goyim, the umos ha'olam, or Esav, more specifically Esav Seir. Not exactly sure.
What do you say? Are you suggesting it's a censored term?
Possibly. Beis Aram. By the way, my text here. I know there's something wrong with the print in my. Let me just make sure. Let me see. I prepared from two different sets of Mishlei, and they had different Rashis. One of them had repeated the Rashis twice.
No, they have Aram here also, Beis Aram.
Just want to make sure.
The wicked.
So the wicked over here refers to Esav. Esav is Aram. It could be that it was a censored term. Let me see over here.
We have Beis Yaakov, we have Beis Rishon.
Okay, let me just read Yud Aleph from the Rashi base Aram Yishamei. Period. That's it. I put a period there. Next, now what does this mean? Yiderd Yesh Derech Yasha Lufnei Ish. Wait, base Aram Yishamei Yesh Derech Yasha Lufnei Ish. Kama Derech Otzel Yisharihi Bi'Enei Esav. Then he's jumping back all the way around. The base Rishamei is the lazy. The being lazy. Is Yeshara he be Ene Esav, the eyes of Esav, Shehu Ish Sade, because Esav was an Ish, so Yaakov was an Ish Tom Yoshev Oyholim. That's the key, that's the trigger. The trigger for Rashi to make the drush and refer to the chilik between Esav and Yaakov. The Oyhel Yesharim Yafriach. Yaakov is the Yashar. The Oyhel is Yoshev Oyholim. And he succeeded, Yafriach, whereas Esav was Ish Sade. He was an Ish Sade. He was a lazy man.
No, not really.
Wait. One thing I want to apologize because with this Rashi is really jumping into Pasuk Yud Beis. There's some corruption in the text. There are different. Rashi overlay. Look at the next Pasuk. Let's read the next Pasuk very quickly. Pasuk Yud Beis. Yesh Derech Yashar Lefnei Ish. There is a Derech Yashar before man. V'acharisa, but its end is Darkei Mavis. So Pasuk Yud Aleph was based Rishayim Yishamei Ve'oyel Yishalim Yafriach. Rashi's here seem to be intermingling, saying there's suddenly some corruption. In fact, I have another edition of Mishlei where the Rashi's are not, they seem to be fixed up. I don't know if that was some different manuscript or someone on their own fixed it up.
Is often referred
Aram. No?
That could be a corruption. But Edom is often referred to as Malchus Harishah.
Okay, so that's a Targum.
Okay,
look at Rashi Pasuk Yud Beis. Yesh Derech Yashar Lufnei Ish Oiver Avera. A person does an Avera Ve'Omer Ein Bo Avera. That's called Derech Yashar. Davar Acher Yesh Derech Yashar Lufnei Ish Derech Otzel Yashar. This is a repetition. The lazy way is Yashar Ha'isa Be'enei Esav, the eyes of Esav. Where do we find Esav was lazy? Shehoye Ish Sadeh. Being an Ish Sadeh means you're lazy, which is shocking to us a little bit, because why? Just when you go out to the field and you work very hard in the field to go trap, you work on trying to trap your prey, why is that called laziness? But Rashi says that, in contrast to being Yeshev Oihel, is considered laziness and leads to...
I mean, he wasn't doing honest labor, but he was...
He was working hard. Okay, so we don't know what this means exactly. V'achris, on the end was Darchei Mavis, it led to his ultimate death. Okay, the Mitzudas and Pasuk Yud Beis says... Derech Yashar Lufnei Ish Nira Be'enav Ki Yashar Hu V'Yachrisa Avol Seif Hadavah Hu Midarkei Mavis. The end is, it leads to death.
What's your problem with death? So there with
Oscar? Because
someone who works the field plows the back 40.
No, so he wasn't plowing, he was trapping.
Hunter.
So why is that being lazy? Yeah. It's hard work.
Because you only get your food when you're hungry. You just see an animal and you shoot it.
No.
When you have a field, you have to plow it, you have to gather it in.
That's not all he was up to. So, yeah, he found things to do.
Alright, it's just a reference point.
He grabbed one of the women. He was a person who didn't plan. He was lazy in the sense that he didn't, you know, what he wanted he took right away, and he didn't... build or, you know, save or...
That's your version.
Yeah, I mean, that's
what
I asked you.
Okay, I don't know. Let's go forward. Now, there's a beautiful medrash. The medrash here says this refers to the Dor HaMabul and Noach. The Dor HaMabul, the teva was an ohel. You ever think of a teva as the ohel? We think of the teva as a nice, solid structure, three floors. It spent 150 years to construct. But relative to the comfort of the people living in the world, it was considered an ohel. So people were making leitzanis of Noach, what are you building? You're building a teva? If there's a marble, come, we have a bunker. Come, we have a presidential bunker deep down in the ground with all of the comforts of life, and that's the place to go in case there is a marble. Yet, that's not the way we look at the marble. We look at the marble as he was totally ignored, Noach. It's not the average way the person understands the episode of the marble. Everyone ignored Noach. The marble's not going to happen. Not necessarily so, according to the Medrash, people maybe have believed there will be a marble. They took better precautions. They built bunkers. They build for themselves shelters.
It doesn't help you underground.
Whatever they did, but they did things. It's very possible they prepared for themselves in ways that were far superior than Noach. Noach had very limited resources. He built a shvacha little teva. This is going to save me when there's going to be a marbel. And he kept on telling the people. They took him seriously. But when the marbel came, all of these massive structures, these massive batim, they all were destroyed. And the only thing that survived was the shvacha little teva that I'll Derech HaTeva couldn't last the day. The Teva of Noach, all Mepharshim point out that the whole thing doesn't make any sense. For architecturally, it doesn't, it's not sound and so on and so forth. It was just purely a miracle. Hashem told him to do it, and that's how the Medrash interprets this pasuk. Beis Rishayim, the people who built homes in the time of the Mabul Yishamed, the Oyel Yisharim Yafriach will blossom. That refers to the Teva of Noach. Very interesting. Okay, now the next pasuk is a very beautiful medrash. It's short, it's very simple. It's simple, but it's very true. And we all know it's true. It's just some... Yeah.
I have a problem. If we're saying that the teva is a shabby little thing,
yeah,
how can we say that the people took him seriously?
Because he was speaking.
They're looking at something and they say, this is not going to survive. Therefore, we're going to build something that's going to survive. They didn't believe
but the attitude, Enoch in Ami, 100%, but it's a matter of attitude. Noach is saying, this is going to survive because Hashem is with me. The Shekhinah...
They didn't believe in Hashem.
Exactly. Exactly.
What if he's right? So we're going to do it the right way.
No,
we don't need Hashem.
No. Conventional opinion. They would have done true for them.
No, they didn't do tshuva.
They're going to build a bunker.
Yeah.
But they're not going to do tshuva.
Right. Yes. Right. That's the whole world is like that today. We are in control. The whole attitude of the world, we are in control of the environment. There's global warming, and we can take care of ourselves.
Right.
And we don't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It was global warming.
I know. The attitude is that we can take care of ourselves. We don't need you, Hashem. We acknowledge there are problems. So, if you're religious, you have to be mispalled like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem should give us the siyata. It's all a matter of attitude. Give us the siyata shmaya to overcome the problems or whatever. And if you don't have emun in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no God, there is nothing, there's a problem, we can take care of the problem ourselves.
No, they were righteous, they were mired in him.
They wanted to kill him.
You're saying you're going to do it, we'll beat you at your game.
Right, but there is that. We'll be throughout your game as we also believe the world might be flooded, but be flooded because of the environment,
yeah.
Not because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's going to do anything.
Of course,
they would have built better ships.
What?
Better boats. They would have built.
They did. That's what we're saying. They built the best.
You know,
they built the best the world had to offer at the time.
The iceberg.
I don't think that wherever that message is, I don't think that's the mainstream opinion on that subject.
And a Hanami. That's why we're learning these things, to give you a different, not to go a different, not the run of the mill.
What's not the main
problem?
That opinion that they built better mousetraps.
That's what it's saying. It says base rishaim yishamed. They built bottom, secure, solid bottom, in order to overcome.
The iceberg.
The city of New York built a very secure command center on the 13th floor of 7 World Trade Center with their own gasoline tanks and fuel, and it all blew up, right? On the 7th floor.
Yep, that's what
the banks are
going on now. The we have this whole thing of global warming. We have all these the massive meetings with people.
Taken to the Reformed Temple in Harris, beautiful, imposing building. What do you think of it? He said, it reminds me of my ex-taver.
It's the same thing.
Ooh, okay. He said, Joe, he says, tell him the story.
The Malden, who was one of the great fighters against reform, he was he was chased out of everywhere. And he was one of the places that he was in Paris. And they showed him the Reformed Temple, which was a beautiful, imposing building. And he said, well, what do you think? So he says, it mamish reminds me of my ex-taver. Mibayis and Michutz Bakoifer.
Kefir. Inside and out. Okay, let's go to the next Chazal. Next Chazal is Dram Shutim. We all know this, that in life, what's good for one person is poison for someone else. I shouldn't say poison. The more common idea is, what's good for you is not good for me. You, this approach to life is good for you. For one person, the good to sit and learn the whole day may be good for you. For me, it's not good. I'm not that kind of stuff. I'm not made up of that kind of stuff where it works. Everything in life is like that. What's good for you is not good for someone else, or worse. What's good for you, it's not just not good for me, it's poison for me. It's bitter. It will lead to my utter destruction. That's how the Medrash interprets this pasuk. Simply, we learn the pasuk. Where is it? We read the pasuk. Derech Yasha Lefnei Ish. It's one derech. There's a derech that appears to be a nice, solid, a good derech. But watch out! After you get it, you turn the bend, it's going to take you into a place you don't want to be. V'yacharisa. It's a nice gold paved road, but watch, when you turn the bend, you're in a lodge of Yacharisa Darkei Mavis. It leads to ways of death. No, it's not what the Medrash says. There's a derech Yasha Lefnei Ish. Absolutely, through and through. The road is paved with gold to the very, very end. But, that's good for me. This road is good for me. But for another person to travel on this same very road, the achrisa, the end of this road for a different person, is darkei mavis, will lead to death. What's good for you is not good for someone else. We're discussing the same road for two different people, but what's good for one is not good for someone else. And the Mashal Gemara gives is the karbanos, the ketores. Mm-hmm. Who was supposed to bring the ketores to Kodesh HaKadoshim? Aaron HaKohen. And couldn't be nothing better. This is the tafkid of Yom Kippurim. You go lefnai v'lefnim, you bring the ketores, you give Hashem nachas ruach. This is the spitz of the avoda. And what did Nadav Yaviu do? They did exactly the same thing. They were makir and Ezar. Why was it called Ezar? Hashem didn't tell them to do it. So what was good for Aaron, for Nadav Yaviu, led to death.
V'achris
adarkei.
Same thing.
Korach brought ketores outside. He wasn't even allowed to do that. But here at least they did the avoda the same way that Aaron did the avoda.
Nobody was allowed to bring ketores. Only a kohen.
So Nadav and Avihu were also kohanim. They were also kohanim, and they did it in the right makom. They did it in the right way, but they were not authorized.
They didn't have the peace.
They were not authorized. But when Korach he was a Levi. He wasn't authorized to do it altogether to bring the Torah. Okay. But
even the kohen, if he didn't get the pies,
right. Well, getting the pies. But that's exactly what it's saying. That's what the Medrash says in reference to. I'll read you the words here. Dov Rachlis the Yalkut Shmoini. The Yalkut Shmoni says, "Ze Aaron, Yesh Derech Yosh Lufnei Yesh Ze Aaron. Aaron was supposed to bring Yomer El Aaron Kachle Egel Ben Bokar, V'Neim Olav B'Shol B'Mishra." He goes different psukim to show that he's supposed to bring Korbanos, and what was the result? V'Achlisa Darkim Aves Elu Nodav Avihu Shechnisu Doron Sheloi B'Rishusu Meisu. Then he gives a marshal Melach, the king, and the king says to the butler, "I want dinner." And the butler brings in the delicacies, the most delicious food that the palace, the world has to offer. and there's a servant standing there, and he sees how much pleasure the king has when the butler brings the food, the delicious food. So the butler, so the servant says, "Oh, I also want to give pleasure to the king." So the servant goes to the kitchen and he prepares a meal, and he walks in the middle of the night to give the king, "King, I have for you a delicious meal." The same way you had so much pleasure when the butler gave you the meal, you have all of the same pleasure, and I also give you. And the king says, "Who told you to bring me dinner? Well, you have no authority to bring me dinner. You're not the butler, you're just a servant. Just because you're doing the same thing the butler did, what kind of, off with your head." So that's the mashal the Medrash gives. What's good for you is not good for someone else, even though you do exactly the same thing. That's the Musar Haskel of this pasuk. Yeah, what's good for you is not only everything in life. Everything in life is a double-edged sword. What's good for you is not good for someone else. Someone needs a transfusion, and he's a certain type of blood type, and so it'll give him life, and he'll take that same blood, and he'll give it to someone who's a different blood type, and it's dead. It'll kill him. That's just the darav pashut. Then there's just a well known Gemara Masechet the Kedushin. It's quoted very, very often. The Gemara talks about Yisurim. Okay, I'll read you into that. So that's Yisurim is when you see a person in this world going b'derech yashar to the observer. Ah, you're jealous. Look at this person. Whatever he does is gold. Ish matzliach. Everything he touches, he's successful. Is a derech yashar. You get jealous. This person has an easy life. Don't be jealous. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving a person a line going derech yashar in order the acharisa to pay him off in this world, to reward him for all of his Torah mitzvos, whatever he has, so that in the next world, the acharisa, the end, will be dark and mavis will be bitter. So a person should never be jealous of someone else when they see that they succeed. You don't know the big picture. I'll read you the Gemara Masechta Kedushin, Omar Rebbe Elazar, Berebbe Tzadik, Lema Tzadikim Nimshalim Oilam Hazet. To what are Tzadikim compared to in this world? The answer is le'ilon, to a tree, shakuloi oimed b'mokam tahara, the majority stands in the place of tahara, v'noifai, one little branch, extends noite l'mokam tuma. So what does Hashem do? Hashem cuts off the branch that's tamei, niktzas noifai, the branch that's tamei is cut off, now the entire tree stands b'makom tahar, kuloi oimei b'makom tahara. So this is the nimshal. So it seems like a very simple mashal, but it's really very, very deep. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe you soon have a tzaddik. So the tzaddik, 99% of the tzaddik stands in the makom tahar, but there's 1% that's tamei. Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh toiv v'lo yacheta. So what does a Kadosh Baruch Hu do? He brings Yisurim on this world to basically to purge, to cut off that 1% that's tamei. Kach Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Yisurim al tzaddikim b'lamazeh lefremei hema al ma'at avaynes shesh b'yadam kidei. So that in the next world, the entire tree, ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh, man is the tree. So in the next world, the entire tree will be in a makom tahar. Kedei sheyimtzu nikim legamrei min ha'chet, v'yirshu ha'olam haba. Then the Rishayim is just the opposite. Hashem cuts off the branch. How does Hashem cut off the branch? Hashem gives him niksas noifa, the branch cut off kulam b'makam tuma. Kachadosh Baruch Hu mashpil lachem tayv l'Rishayim b'lamazel in order kedei Litardan uleharishan lemadrega hatachtoina, so that the entire tree should be standing in a makam tuma. Okay, so that's the mashal, and then the Medrash concludes. The Gemara concludes. Masechta Kedushin daf mem beis shenemar. If you want to find a source, a biblical source for this concept, it's this very pasuk. Yesh derech yashar lefnei ish. Don't be upset when you see Rishayim succeed. Because the success that they're on, the derech yashar of their life, leads to a very bad place. Yesh derech yashar lefnei ish, v'achvisa darkei mavis. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk, pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yigimel says, "Gam b'schoik yichav leif." Schoik brings heartache. The acharisa and the end of schoik is simcha, suga. Complex pasuk, simcha that turns into agony. Now, what does this pasuk mean? So this pasuk Yigimel, afilu b'avur ribui haschoik im kilo of arbezeh al mitzvos Hashem. One can argue that as long as you do not do Averos, you're safe. That's what Shlomo HaMelech is coming to tell us. That's not so. That even if you parif, you're in the middle, you are having a good time, you're wasting your time. I'm not doing any Averos, but I'm just wasting my time with schok, with laughter, with things of no value, even though technically one has not done an Avera, guess what? That will also lead to heartache. Very powerful pasuk, a person who always has to involve himself with positive and productive things. Afilu be'avud ribu yatzloik im ki loy ovar bezel mitzvah sashem yikol mokom yichav libo he'al have heartache be'es yikabel ha'gemul al shapona libo lebatolo, when he'll be punished for this, that he has turned his heart away from doing good to do things of nonsense. V'yachvisa ratzolaymar im kein sofa tiyeh Asher HaSimcha, the Sechoik, the things that he does for joy, will turn into Suga. Suga means agony. Yogon v'itzavoin, sadness and sorrow. Ratzolaymar im kein sefer tiyah asher HaSimcha tehafech l'suga, will turn into sorrow. Okay, let's see over here. Pasuk Yud Gimel and Rashi. Gam b'schoik shakadosh baruch hu mesachik imoy mol mazem. So Rashi here has an entirely different interpretation. The schoik does not mean man's own self enjoyment, which he brings upon himself. Let's take a step back. Going to the Mitzudos, the schoik means a person in this world. He chooses to enjoy himself. He does things that are not averos, but they're not mitzvos. Instead of using the time as an opportunity to do any kind of mitzvah, to learn Torah, he uses this time to vacation, just to enjoy himself. That's mitzudos. Rashi says that's not the pshat. The schoik here means, the schoik is the joy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings upon a person. Hashem allows him to succeed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mesachek imohem bo'olam hazeh. Hashem causes man in this world to enjoy himself. That will be a source of pain in the next world. Yichav libam le'osel lavo, because he will now, he has received all of his reward in this world.
That's the Rasha.
V'chein hu oimer, it's a continuation of the previous pasuk. The derech yashar lifnei ish v'achriso is darkei mavis, the continuation. The schok that he receives in this world will be nothing more than yichav live in the next world. V'oimer v'atem titzaku michav lev, he brings the pasuk in Yeshaya, you will cry out in the future with heartache in the next world. Okay, so that's Rashi, and I don't have any medrash. Let's go pasuk Yudalit. Yeah.
So what's that saying? Somebody who's not a bad person, you know.
According to Rashi, we're discussing a wicked man.
We're discussing a wicked man.
A wicked man, very specifically a wicked person. And Hashem is rewarding him in this world for all of his good deeds, so that in the next world he will be denied access. He will be completely put in a place of tumah.
Right.
No case. That's so. It's two psukim continuing. In the same theme. According to the Mitzvah, the second pasuk is discussing an entirely different concept. We are not dealing with a rasha. We're dealing with a good man, but the good man has failed to use his time wisely. Instead of using his time to learn Torah, to mekayim mitzvos, he wastes his time with things that give him pleasure. That will ultimately lead to aggravation. Will lead to yichav leif. Will lead to suga. Is that it's not a punishment? He didn't do anything wrong. You can't say he's wasted time, right? So wasting time doesn't say anywhere in the Torah you're not allowed to waste time. It's a missed opportunity, and a missed opportunity is agmas nefesh.
Hit you in the face and you just...
It doesn't appear to be a punishment that the person is lowered into Gehenna. it's an agmas nefesh. I could have used the time wisely. It's self-imposed punishment. The realization of how much more you could have accomplished. The Gro always writes this din v'cheshbon. What is din? Din is you have to be punished for your sins. Cheshbon means what good could you have done in the time that you were doing the avera. It took me 2 hours to do the avera. 2 hours, I set out on a mission to rob a bank. So I spent, let's say, a week planning. I spent a whole day executing my plan. And so I spent, let's say, a total of 3 weeks robbing a bank. So then, you're going to go to Gehenna. You're going to be punished. Put you away for 50 years for the actual robbing. And then there's the cheshbon. During those 3 weeks, you know what you could have done? You could have learned Torah 3 weeks. You learned one Mishnah, Kol Nitzchias, one Mishnah, one pasuk in Chumash, a pasuk in Mishlei. You koyne Olam Haba, and during those 3 weeks, you know you could have done how many mitzvahs you could have done. So now you're gonna have to give cheshbon for what you lost out, what you could have been doing during that time.
Everyone
has guilt. Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yechta. Everyone is guilty in that degree.
Reverend Levine, your father, Shlomo, would have said probably the opportunity course.
Absolutely good. Very good. 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 Absolutely.
I heard an opposite shot. Din means to get your din what you deserve. Cheshbon is, let's say, something you want to say for me. Even after the person died, people are learning from his farm.
Peres.
Gets ended on. So that's his.
Another shot. Interest. Dividends.
Right.
Royalties. The royalties keep on coming. Dividends keep on coming. I ain't part of Mutara. Okay, but it'll be according to the. You take the shot, din v'cheshbon. You can plug it mamash from the pasuk here according to the parish of the mitzudos. The first pasuk is punishment. The second pasuk is. Okay, different than these ideas. Okay, let's. Yeah. The star's already died.
Yes.
But the light is still going for years. The light's still traveling. The light that we see from the stars today could very well be from a dead star. Mm-hmm. Because it's so far away, it already blew up. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yudalid, Midrachav Yispas Sugleiv. May Allah ish tov. Interesting pasuk. Now we had this idea many times. A person does himself in. Suglev is a new term we have not yet had until now. A person whose heart turns away. Sug means sug is similar to the word sur, right? To turn away. So a heart that turns away from his role, his mission, is an evil man, and his plans will do himself in. A person always brings about his own demise. Midracha, from one's, you have to read the pasuk backwards. A suglev, a man who's wicked, yispa, will be satisfied, will be sated with midrachov from his own very own evil. It will boomerang upon himself. And can't, now then the pasuk concludes, this is a complicated part of the pasuk, whom he all of, and when that happens, when the wicked man is punished, Hashem will make sure that there's no collateral damage. The tzaddikim, who is called the ishtoif, will be umay olav, will be distanced from this man who is about to suffer. Hashem will cause that. If there's going to be an earthquake, and this guy is going to be swallowed up, even though every single day the tzaddik happens to come on that part of the land, on that day, his car will break down, and he just won't come there. There'll be some traffic jam, and he won't be in that place in that time in order not to be swallowed up with the suglev. Let's see the mitzudos for precise translation. Pasuk Yudalev, suglev, halev hanosug me Hashem, the lev that turns away from Hashem, backsliding. Look upon the mitzudos pasuk Yudalev. The more precise translation of sug, it means in yonai hachazara leochar, to turn backwards. What's the pasuk?
Yes, here he is.
Is this what this is talking about?
Somebody that was religious, for example?
No, it just means every person is religious. It means a person who rebels, doesn't have seen these fully, whatever, a person who just makes a conscious decision not to follow in the way of Hashem.
But we call it today somebody went off the
derech. Right, correct. So this is another term. A suglev is another term. And there are many, many terms. Suglev, haslev, hanosug me Hashem, a heart that turns away, that backslides from Hashem. Yispam bidrachov, he will be satisfied from his own evil ways. What does that mean? Ki gemulo, ki mifolo, his punishment will be according to his actions. Now the next part is more complex. Umei elof, what does this mean? If not for the parish of the mitzvahs, we really know what this means. Umei olof, be'es yikabel hagemol, at the time when a rasha is punished, yiyeh ish toif, this good man, nifrad mei olof, will be separated, will be distanced from mei olof, lebal yiyeh nilke imo, not to be punished with the Rasha. Hashem protects the Rasha, the Tzaddik, not to be punished together with the Rasha. Rashi, Pasik, Yudalid, Midrachov, Yispa, Suglev, Esav. Rashi is jumping to a Medrash. Esav will do himself in. Umei olav ish toiv, and Yaakov will be distanced. Yaakov, in other words, HaKadosh Yaakov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, separates Yaakov from Esav, when Esav will do themselves in and destroy themselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that Yaakov Avinu will not be part, will not suffer collateral damage from the Churban of Esav. How will that will play out in the world history, we have yet to see. Okay, now there's... Yeah?
Very good. Malbus, you say the person has the Russia here, the first part of the Pussy has an internal struggle. I mean, what his heart is telling him is correct, and he can't overcome that. He seems to have to go
along. He's nichshal. He's overwhelmed by his Yetzirah. So his heart is nasuglev. It's the same idea that we've been saying. That's what we're saying. The heart goes backwards, it's pulled in the wrong direction by the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah overwhelms him. And
detoured,
but more than that, it's overwhelmed. It's pulled backwards away from Hashem due to the influence of the Yetzirah.
He quotes a pasuk.
Yeah.
He quotes a what was done before. It's unsecured. Lay the more snapshot. Malvin quotes that the heart knows the bitterness of the soul.
So he's saying that over there means the Yetzirah, the bitterness, the struggle of the Yetzirah, and in this instance, it's failing. In this instance, the heart has failed to choose well due to the overwhelming influence of the Yetzirah. Okay, that is a very interesting Medrash. The Medrash interprets this in reference to Avraham Avinu. The Ish Toif. Who is the Ish Toif? Avraham Avinu. Umei Olav. Umei Olav means, who taught Avraham Avinu to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu? No one. All by himself. The ultimate self-made man in this world is Avram. And he was intuitive. Everyone today can't say about himself he's self-made when it comes to religion. Because everyone has someone who came before them. And even a person who comes from a family who's not religious, but somewhere down the line, somewhere above him, there's always going to be someone, or there's a community, or there's a society. It's in his blood. Everyone is coming from...
Exposure.
Is coming from a great person. So no one can say today they're self-made. The only one that can say about himself that he is self-made, he was Makir Ribonoi in a world, a pagan world, father who took him every day to the church to bow down to the idols and to make idols, is Avraham Avinu.
What about a ger who was brought up as a Catholic and challenges his faith?
Enochanami, to a large degree, he is self-made, but you can't say he's the self-made as far as monotheism is concerned. Monotheism is something which is established in the world. There are books, there's been influenced by in society. Avraham Avinu lived in a pagan world. No one believed there is a creator. No one, nothing, zero. Okay, I shouldn't say no, you had shame, you had shame, and Noach, and Aver, but...
Yaakov, Noah, it could have been Noah.
Why? Well, there was Adam.
I mean Avraham, he said Avraham.
Yes.
So why can't you apply whatever standard you had and used for Avraham, apply to Noah?
Noach Ishari, because Noah was at least had a connection to somebody to Adam Harishon. Noah was the beginning of creation. There was religion in the world. There was Adam, Yitzir, Kap, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Noach, at that point in time, you're asking a good question, but basically we're dealing with a society that was after the Mabul, a society that totally had no connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and now comes along a person out of nowhere, with no one to learn from, self-made man. Right, it's not 100% because there is shame and there is Adam, so maybe Avraham also has who to look back at, but the Chazal applying this to Avraham, he is the man who we can apply the word.
They learned anything from shame, that they were not in the
same. Okay, they maybe didn't know him from shame. Maybe he was a child, 3 years old. He can respire. Maybe they never heard of shame. We don't know all these details. There are conflicting midrashim, but whatever it is it's a very powerful Chazal. The words, Umei Olav, Ishtov, it means Avraham was the Ishtov. Olav means it came to him, the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Olav, upon himself to the exclusion of everyone else. A self-made man. Okay, let's go to the next.
It's a greater compliment to say someone is an Ishtov or to say someone is a tzaddik.
Each one has its own milus.
You had it.
You only can have one? What would you want to have? I can't, I don't know.
Ishtov
or a tzaddik? If you have only one or the other, I don't know. We'll give you both. Buy one, get one first.
It's like an army needs different soldiers.
What?
Absolutely,
you need
infantry, you need all kinds.
Look, Puch Hazia Ma'am Advar. Look at all the tiles of the Gedolim. Hatzadik, Hagoyin Hatzadik. Rav Meir, did you ever find the title Hagoyin Hatoyv? Hagoyin Hatzadik, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Zecher Toiv Levracha.
You never heard. Negative condemnation.
Okay, that's a what? Okay, that's a sarcastic.
What about
the first?
You say it's a tzadik.
A tzaddikal. Yashar. That's Avram Yisrael Yaakov. The Sefer HaYashar. Yashar. Sefer Halayu Kosovol. Sefer HaYashar. The Avos of the Yasharim. Sefer HaYashar. All right, let's go further. We have here this idea. Pasuk Tezav. Okay. Pasuk Tezav. Chosid Shaita.
The list of
Madregas
was once.
Titles. There's a lot to be said about a title. A Chacham. A Chacham. The Chazan. The Chazan, the Rabbi Soloveitchik talk about the Chazan. And, you know, in the Spanish Portuguese synagogue, there's really no official title as a Rav, as a rabbi. He always speaks about it. There's a Chazan. Because. What? But the rabbi is not really called a rabbi. It was really called a chazan. Because when the Spanish Portuguese synagogue was established, there were no rabbanim in America.
I think they also used the term reverend.
There were no rabbanim in America. They came later, the rabbanim. There was no one to give smicha. There was nothing. So they had a person who was in charge. He was called the chazan. And for decades, and maybe now they changed their charter. Not likely. The whole pride and joy of the Spanish Portuguese synagogue is tradition, which is a tremendous mila. But I think the rabbi, if I'm not mistaken, is still called the chazan. The Chazan HaKahal.
The angel was called the
rabbi.
Yeah.
Well, Rabbi Solomon is also called the rabbi.
But the Sephardim had no rabbis. Even the Syrians.
Chacham, they're called
they
Chacham.
They hired all Ashkenazim rabbis from all the major.
Because there was no one. Because
Lieberman.
No, but you're talking current.
No.
I'm talking the charter. The charter, they don't have, they have a Sheikhate. They still have a shochet there. A Spanish-Portuguese synagogue, they have a shochet. There's a cantor, and there's a shochet. They have to have a shochet, even though the shochet doesn't do any shchita. He hasn't slaughtered one animal his whole life. He's still a shochet. He is the shochet.
They're actually Chevra Kedisha. They bought cemetery land before they built the shul.
They have a cemetery. They have tours. They take you on a tour of their cemetery. Spanish-Portuguese. They own
square.
Yeah, it's their cemetery.
Yeah, they go out every Memorial Day.
Memorial Day, right. It's a big thing.
Revolutionary heroes.
Yes. Yeah, it's a big thing. It's supposed to be, my cousin told me, it's supposed to be one of the nicest things that
every shul does that.
Who thought? Salve Yitzchak.
He challenged Talmud Torah. He says, don't you guys do it?
That's what he said?
Yeah. There's a cemetery on 21st Street also.
That's the second cemetery.
Yeah.
The first one is Chavon. That's the second.
Okay, well, let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk is a favorite for many people. Pesi yamim chol davar. A fool believes everything. Pesi yamim chol davar. The arum yavin la ashur. But a clever man yavin la ashuro. His whole desire is to understand his steps in life. Ashur lashon of steps. Or in this rabbi, he says, inyan derech, upsiyah is to understand his path in life. A wise man wants to understand every single thing. You can't get him. Why did he do this? Why did he do that? I must understand exactly every single thing in my life, otherwise I'm not going to do it. That is called an arum, a clever man. A fool just follows the masses. There's a famous joke, there's a person needed parnasa. It could be even a true story, I doubt it, but who knows. Person needed, he was a wonderful Baal Tzila. Wonderful Baal Tzila, and he wanted to need parnasa in the winter, Chanukah time. So he figured he will go to out to the Midwest, and I'll find a bunch of Alabatim who know from nothing, and I'll tell them that, you know, it's Yom Kippur tomorrow. Okay, the first day Chanukah is Yom Kippur, and you need a Baal Tila shot, everyone should come to shul, and he'll do them a favor, who only charge since he knows it, and it's a little mitoiva, a New Year special, January 1st special, Black Friday special, he'll only charge them half price, $5,000. Tell the community, send out an email, everyone should come to shul tomorrow, $5,000. So they all come, the community comes, they'll put on their kittel, and they come, and he's starting, and they have no clue what he's saying. He's saying the Nusach HaTfilah, and as he's saying the Nusach HaTfilah, in walks in his buddy from yeshiva. He's there in business, out in the Midwest, he's out on business, some type of business. He walks into shul, he thought he's coming for Shacharis, and he sees the all dressed in the kittel, and they're fasting, and they all have a Yom Kippur Machzor. And he looks up at his friend, and he sees his friend is sitting by the bima, and he's davening for the amud, and he can't believe what a charlatan his friend is. He knew his friend was a faker, but you're gonna pull this off. So the friend was afraid. The chazan was afraid that he would tell the people. So while he's davening, he starts singing. Bossi le'ir shekulam amaratzim amarti lohem shehayoyim yoyim hakipurim im eshtoik v'loy oyma lohem klum chatzi li chatzi lecho kodosh. So that's what it means. They're foolish people. Pesiyamin l'chol davar. Let's see over here the mitzvahs. Pasik tesvav l'chol davar l'divrei lashon hara. Now, according to the parish, the pasuk shat, it refers to lashon hara. Fascinating mitzvahs. L'divreiam. Lo, he believes every little piece of gossip. On the other hand, in Arum, a clever individual, Yavin, he is demanding. Yavin the Shem Ha'osit, Lashon Osit. I must understand everything that is going to happen, Lashua, in order to proceed further in life on my derech.
What does that do to Nasev and Nishma?
What? Nasev and Nishma is from Hashem. It's not a contradiction, there's a balance. Nas, you have to have Emunah Kodesh Baruch Hu, but when things that are not subject to Emunah, you have a right to understand. When you tell a person to do a Minog, why are you doing this Minog? Why you have to have a Shamus? Why do you have 8 candles, 7 candles, 1 candle, 2 candles, Hanukkah? What's it all about? You have a right to know. No secrets. There are no secrets. You have a right to demand. Then there are certain things that you don't have a right to know. Okay, so there has to be a balance. It just means that when there's a time to ask questions, there's a time not. But when it comes time to ask questions, you have a right to ask the question. All it means. Lashuay ledarkoicho amiti ratzolaymar leamita soinin. He wants to understand the depth, the MS, why something is the way it is. Rashi pasik tes of pesiyamin ledivrem v'niseis lachrem. A fool believes the words of others. V'niseis achrem. He is drawn. He is drawn after people who tell him things. Davar acher, another interpretation. Now Rashi over here again. The Rashi over here a little bit out of order. I'm not exactly sure what's going on here. He's going back to the previous pasuk. B'schoik yich avlev. Rashi now is jumping back to pasuk yud gimel. Pasuk yud gimel. It says b'schoik yich avlev. So it says here a schoik l'ksil aso zima. Let's take a step back. What was Rashi's original interpretation? The schok, the simcha that Hashem brings upon man. Hashem brings simcha upon man by paying him off in this world for all of his good deeds. That was Rashi's first interpretation. Rashi is now going back to Pasuk Yud Gimel and giving us a different interpretation, which appears to be the same thing as the Mitzudos. The Sechok is the pleasure that a Rasha has in this world. What is his pleasure? His pleasure is Asos Zima, is to conspire and to make trouble. And that joy man has, a wicked man has, in conspiring and making trouble, will one day bring about his own downfall, his own agmas nefesh, his own yichav leif. Schok l'ksil aso zima, v'sofo yichav leif, the end will be, he'll have agmas nefesh. Sug leif rasha, what does it mean? What does it mean, sug leif, kama, rasha. Rashi is translating the term sug leif as an evil man, a rasha. Kamo, as we have later on in Perek Chavav, kesef sigim, we have kesef sigim, which means a silver, a fake silver. What does it mean, fake an silver?
It's not
pure silver. Sug hushem ha-psoiles, it's the name of the psoiles, the alloy. Sug hu kesef ha-mu'urv b'psoiles, it's silver which is mixed with psoiles. So here when it says sug, sig. So sig over here is saying it's synonymous with the word sug. And we take the word sug together with reference to a human being, it means a person's heart is phony, is fake. It's not pure. It's filled with machshavos, plans, conspiracies, zimois, schemes, and all bad things that bring about problems for himself and for others. Ume olav ish toiv. Rashi is going back to the, now Rashi going back to pasuk gedal. What is in the olav? Mimaloi l'rasha yihat tzadik, above. Rashi translates mimal here to mean not like the mitzvahs, apart. Apart means he's not going to suffer collateral damage. The collateral damage will be spared, but it means that the tzaddik will be elevated, will one day rise above the rasha. We have rishoyim. The sug leiv will be yispa midrachav umei olav, and the tzaddik, the ish toiv, will rise above. Hashem will one day bring about that the tzaddik will get his just reward in this world as well. Nimalo l'rasha yatzadik. Okay, now we go to the next words, which are pasuk pesiyamin. A fool believes la'anshe rachli, believes lashon hara va'arim yavin la'ashuray lipsi oisav. The word ashuray means steps. Kolaymar yitzpe milariv v'yam. He holds back from quarreling. V'yamtin, and he waits ad yivadalo el nachon, until he knows exactly what is going on. When a person hears, according to Rashi. Right, exactly. So here Rashi is interpreting this in reference to Lashon Hara, that a Yavin, that an Orum, a clever man, when he hears Lashon Hara, he reads the paper, or he hears Lashon Hara, he does not rush to judgment, he does not pick up himself and go out and fight, that someone did something. Let's see if it's really true. Let's really analyze and inquire and uncover the true story. There's always another side to the story. Let me hear the other side of the story, let me know, and then I will make judgment if it's kedai for me to take action. So here, the entire pasuk, according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, is really being interpreted in reference to Lashon Hara. A pesi, as soon as he hears Lashon Hara, I believe him. The person is guilty, no trial. There's a rumors, there's smoke, there's fire, that's it. Guilty.
Ferguson, Missouri.
But an Aram says, listen, I know there's Lashon Hara, there's a problem. listen, let's not jump to conclusions. Let's go see what the whole story is. Nothing is so simple in this world. Yitzape, Yitzpe, who holds back, okay, what about the Medrash before we conclude? The Medrash over here says, now this is a beautiful Medrash, a very powerful Medrash. I didn't know this until much later in life, and I was shocked when I heard this. Medrash comes from Shemos Rabba. Okay, and actually, I shouldn't know this, but I shouldn't really even say this, I should know this, but I was just, I don't know, reading the news, and I noticed that they had in the headlines, there's a new movie called Exodus.
That's right.
About the Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
And all the Christians, everyone is talking about different things about if it's accurate to the Bible, to whoever. And there's one thing just came out is that in this movie, it says in the paper that when Hashem appears to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem appeared to him as a child.
Right.
In the sneh.
Right.
So right away, how did Hashem really appear to Moshe Rabbeinu? And his father. I never knew that until not so long ago. His father's voice. When Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in the sneh, the Medrash says Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in his father's voice.
But he shouldn't scare him, dude.
Oh, so it comes from this. Here it comes from this Medrash, this pasuk here in the Mishlei. Moshe Rabbeinu, shockingly, is called a Pesi. Moshe was a Pesi, which means, what's a Pesi? According to the Medrash, a Nar. What's a Nar? Adolescent. Young child, someone that's nishtahi nishtaher. You can't go too hard and you can't go too easy. If Hashem would appear to Moshe Rabbeinu in the voice of something divine, which I don't know what that means even, in Hashem's voice, whatever that means, whatever it is, in Hashem's voice, Moshe would be terrified.
Different generation.
Moshe would be terrified because Moshe is a nar. A 17-year-old boy that hears Hashem speak to him loses his mind. Moshe would run away. There would be no chance Moshe would be recruited. If Hashem would speak to Moshe Rabbeinu in the form, I have to find what it says over here, of a child, okay, like they have in the movie, and Moshe would have no respect for the Shekhinah. This is the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is a child. So Hashem had to find the balance. It's an amazing medrash. Hashem had to find the balance of how to appear to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the balance was the first time. Okay, the medrash doesn't tell us about other times. We don't have any hasag. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to a person on Yom HaDrega. On Yom HaDrega, all the Darshanim, I've heard this 100 times, that the Darshanim, they all say, they compare Hashem to the GPS. When you make a mistake, don't worry, we're calculating, I'll get you where you need to go, even if you make mistakes. Hashem relates to a person based upon his madriga, where he's holding in life. So Moshe Rabbeinu is called the Pesi, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to Moshe Rabbeinu not too harsh, not too light, and therefore Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in the voice of his father Amram. Let me read you the Medrash, amazing Medrash. The Medrash is in Shemos Rabba, Perigimel, in the parsha of the Sneh, when the Moshe Hashem appears to Moshe in the burning Sneh. Mahu Pesi. The Medrash asks, what does it mean over here in the Pasuk, Pesi Yamin L'choldav? What's a Pesi? Shekein Barav, it's an Aramaic word, Korin Lenar Pasya. The Targum of the word Pesi is, a Nar is a Pesi. So it's not so negative. Dovaracher, Ein Pesi, Eloshin Pitui means to entice. Pesi means Pitui, to entice. You have to be subject. Mefata. Kamodatema v'chi yefata ish. V'zeh peti. Omar, now here comes this amazing statement. Omar, Rabbi Shua, HaKoyin Bar Nechemya B'shosh Shenigle HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Moshe Tiroin Hoya. What does Tiroin mean? Tiroin is an Aramaic word for Nar. Moshe Rabbeinu was an adolescent.
Like
he was he was an 80-year-old man.
Amateur.
Tiroin, an amateur. Okay, Tiroin. He was 80 years old. But we're calling him this term, which means he was an adolescent, a nar, a tiron. A tiron hoya, Moshe l'nevuah. He was a tiron for nevuah. He had no experience. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to himself, what am I going to do here? Im niglani Allah b'kol gadol. By Matan Torah, there was a kol, now you know what it means, kol gadol. By Matan Torah, gives you a whole new appreciation. When Hashem spoke, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I don't know what that means. When Hashem spoke, by Harsi, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, how did Hashem sound? How did he sound?
Scary enough that everybody was...
So did it sound like everyone's father, like Amram? So here the Medrash is saying, no. Kol Gadol means a voice that we have no hasaga. Kol Gadol, amazing insight to what Kol Gadol means. Okay? If I'm going to do that, ani mivato, I'll terrify him, and he'll be a goner. The kol namuch doesn't say what a kol namuch is. I don't know if it means a child.
Soft voice.
Boiser means mizalzel. Boiser means he'll make light. He'll make like a light of the shchina who al hanavua. So me'asa. This was the koyach of Hakadosh Baruch Hu nigle alav b'koyloi shel aviv. Respect for his father. All my mush, it wouldn't work today. Because today, a lot of children don't have much respect for their parents, unfortunately. It wouldn't work today, but in time Moshe Rabbeinu, he had respect for his father. That itself is a whole Musa Shmuz. Amar Moshe, hinini bo, Amar Moshe, hinini. So he heard his father. Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem spoke to him, believed that his father was speaking to him from the grave.
So it's both familiar and authoritative.
Yes, exactly. He thought his father was speaking to him. You hear such a story? I'm not your father. Don't call me father. I'm not your father. Ela Elokei Avicha. I'm the God of your father. Each word of this medrash is full of symbolism, full of depth. It's amazing. Bepitui basi alecha. I'm coming to you with pitui, with enticement. Kidei shlotis yarei. And then the medrash concludes. You want to know pshat. Now you know pshat in mishle. When you go to the morning kollel and you learn the pasuk, pesi yamul chaldavar. This is what it means. Pesi yamul chaldavar. Moshe shoye pesi hemin shaviv medaber elof. He really thought his father was talking to him. He really thought his father was talking to him until Kadosh Baruch Hu had to correct him. Kadosh Baruch Hu had to do this in order to wake him up to get him to listen. Okay, we'll stop here.
Someone pays
retail price.
Manufacturers suggested retail price. That's the best.